You learn in elementary physics this proposition, which is basically true. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed, at least in this universe. But listen to these seismologists talking about the situation in Japan, thinking about that 9.0 earthquake and the aftermath.
When an earthquake like this happens, it basically, all of the stress that it relieves in the Earth's crust essentially gets transferred somewhere else. It doesn't go away. It actually adds loading to other parts of the crust.
Planetary energy zinging around the Earth's crust, which is already sort of stuck at a kind of fever pitch of pressure that can be relieved at points all over the world. That's the premise, in part, of a new documentary from NOVA, which is produced by our partners WGBH in Boston. And you just heard Chris Goldfinger speaking there in the documentary. He's associate professor in marine geology and geophysics at Oregon State University. Thomas Jordan joins us. He's the director of the Southern California Earthquake Center. He's a part of this new NOVA documentary, which is taking a look at what happened in Japan and what's likely to happen next. Good morning, Thomas Jordan.
Good morning.
And Colin McRae is the producer of the NOVA latest special, Japan's Killer Quake, which airs this week on many PBS stations. Colin McRae, good morning.
Good morning.
So when your scientists and your cameras finally took a close look at what's happened in Japan, during the earthquake, which was 9.0, and then the many aftershocks that have happened since, what did you find?
Well, I should qualify one thing, is that I was the producer of a section of the footage, which was actually the footage which I got when I was traveling around in the northern area. So my expertise is the reality on the ground.
Which is pretty grim all by itself. I mean, what did you learn just even seeing the aftermath in the northeast of Honshu Island?
I think the just extraordinary thing about it was, I mean, you know, I've traveled a lot around the world and seen a lot of things, but before I arrived, I just very briefly saw the very initial footage, and, you know, it was almost incomprehensible to look at that footage, and I'm sure that everyone who's seen it feels the same. Well, I hope in a way it'll become less incomprehensible after the show tonight. But the extraordinary thing is, when you arrive and you see it in reality, it's still incomprehensible. The scale is still so huge. You know, you look, I was at a place called Minami Sanriku, and all that's left is the one road that drives through the town, which was slightly raised, which has survived, although you know, broken and damaged. And on either side of you, there is just huge destruction. 20,000 people or something lived there, and the entire town is absolutely flattened. And you saw that repeated up and down the coast. Another place called Rukin Zatata, Takata, where and that had a population of 20,000, nobody knows how many have survived. And that, again, was just extraordinary. And what was extraordinary, actually, I arrived at that some 5 days. It was one of the last places I got to, 5 days after the earthquake. And there was just this vast, vast mud flat, which you kind of walked into. And I arrived, as did some Japanese soldiers who were not looking for survivors anymore. It was by then you know, too far and too cold as well.
Oh.
But walking along this kind of this mud flat, which had no footsteps on it, nobody had been there since the thing happened, and knowing that underneath that mud there are a lot of people have died.
Oh, but putting footprints for the first time into that mud really sort of says the sort of geologic scale of the recarving of the earth that took place there in northeast Japan. That's Colin McRae, one of the producers of NOVA's latest special, Japan's Killer Quake. Well, Thomas Jordan, as a scientist, how do you begin to get the sense of the scale of the energy that was released in that earthquake? And as your colleague Chris Goldfinger suggests, that energy is transferred somewhere else. We're likely to see that energy popping up somewhere else on the Earth.
That's correct. The problem with earthquakes is that they can trigger other earthquakes. And, you know, this sequence of earthquakes is probably far from over. We've had a number of strong aftershocks, but the aftershock activity for this particular event will continue for years. For example, in the 2004 magnitude 9.1 earthquake in Sumatra, which caused the Great Indian Ocean tsunami, we have had something like 17 aftershocks greater than magnitude 7.
Wow.
And those have spread out from the original rupture zone. Our concern right now is that if that were to happen in Japan, it could generate very strong earthquakes, aftershocks, for example, in the Tokyo region, which, of course, as you know, is the world's largest city, it wasn't hit that hard by the main shock of March 12th, but a major aftershock essentially beneath Tokyo could cause real damage.
You know, Thomas Jordan, whenever there's an earthquake, you know, the scientists get on and take great pains to say, well, if there's a shock over here, it doesn't mean there's necessarily going to be a shock over here. But this NOVA suggestion that energy is being transferred all over the Earth's crust from various pressure points does kind of suggest that there is just one earthquake. It's called the plates moving, not a bunch of individual earthquakes. It's just too complex to track causally from one zone to another, yes?
No, I don't think that's correct.
All right, good.
Frankly, there is stress transfer, but the transfer appears to be fairly local. I mean, on the scale of these events, it's huge. I mean, this earthquake had a rupture zone of 100,000 square kilometers, the size of Iowa. And so the stress transfer occurs on these very large scales. However, if you look carefully at seismicity, you know, earthquakes that have happened over the last number of years, we do not see an effect where a large earthquake, let's say this one in Japan, would trigger large earthquakes in other parts of the world far away.
Thomas Jordan is director of the Southern California Earthquake Center. Colin McRae, a lot of NOVAs leave you with very memorable graphics or a sort of scientific kind of animation. I suspect this one leaves you more with a human face.
I'm so sorry. The last one?
I suspect this documentary, NOVA, is more about the human faces that you encountered rather than the animations that we often see on NOVA.
It was very much about the human faces. It was about the incomprehensible scale of the disaster and the incomprehensible scale of the suffering. And also, I have to say, something about the Japanese, which was profoundly impressive and moving. There's something in the Japanese character which just approached the whole thing with such a sense of community and such a sense.
Japan's killer quake. Colin McRae is one of the producers. It's on NOVA, produced by our partner WGBH in Boston.